Is Mike Golic there? How are you, pal?
Hey, there I am. Good, man. How you doing?
Congratulations. You are the very first guest on the new Tony Bruno. This is my last, by the way, this will be my last ever job.
This is your last contract.
This is my my last job. I wasn't really saying I wanted
Seriously?
To go back.
Yes. Seriously? So you've gone all the way back to the beginning of us way, 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 way back in the late 90s, huh?
Yeah, that was that. But that was, you know, that was one of my reboots, as we call it.
What year was that?
That was 1999.
That was 98. Yes. I mean, you were obviously in Philly when I was in Philly. You were doing Philly. That's where I got to know you when I was playing for the Eagles. But, yeah, that's when we hooked up for our year. And then, so really, seriously, am I supposed to believe this is your last gig?
Yeah, what am I going to do? I'm going to be 68. I don't want to die on the job, but I'm still enjoying this. You know what it is, Mike? You know it, and we both have fun doing what we do. You were, when you played in the NFL with the Eagles and the Dolphins, people knew you were a fun guy. People knew in the locker room. Mike Golic, he's got it. In fact, he had his own TV show. Remember that, Harry? Golic's Got It, where he would do his own segments.
Is that right? Yeah. I never saw that, because I was living down south. Was that just local, like in
Yeah,
Philly?
He had his own local thing. And, you know, in every city, in every NFL city, it's like Pat McAfee in Indy. Everybody knew he was a character. He was a great punter. Mike Golic was on a great defensive line with all those guys, with Reggie. When you look at that Eagles defense he played with on that line, and Mike, I don't believe, got the credit that he deserved. I think that you got shortchanged on that line with Clyde Simmons.
Listen,
and
nobody Jerome. Can help up one of my teammates after a sack like I could. I was phenomenal at it.
Let's see, Reggie White, the greatest defensive lineman I ever saw play. And then you had Jerome Brown, the late, great Jerome Brown, Clyde Simmons, and Mike Golic. That's a pretty damn good line.
Clyde Simmons was awesome,
Yeah,
too.
Mike, don't forget, Mike Pitts was another first round.
That's right.
That was in there. We had a nice rotation on the inside. Let me tell you, it was a ball playing for that team. You know, behind there you had Byron Evans and Seth Joyner, Eric Allen, Wes Hopkins, Andre Waters. I mean, the shame of it is, I mean, the sad part for me is, you know, a few of those guys that have passed away, and that's been a bit of a bummer, you know, trying to relive those days and understanding some of those guys have been lost. But, you know, that was before free agency hit in 93, and so we were all together for more than a few years. And that was back when I think you really had a lot of friends, not just teammates, but a lot of friends as well.
Exactly. And your kids, you know, I remember when, and then I moved to Connecticut. I didn't move to Connecticut. I was still working here in Philly. And then you and I got together. You were still in Arizona, and I remember we were talking about, Mike was asking, should I move to Bristol? You know, I'm here in Scottsdale. You know, I want this to work. And I said, yeah, Mike, this is going to be a great opportunity. And then we launched the Bruno and Golic morning show at ESPN Radio, the very first morning show at ESPN. And I was there for a year with Mike, and then I left and moved to L.A. for 11 years. But Mike and, you know, Mike, then Greeny and Golic were there. How many years? 20 years with you and Greeny?
It was 18 years. It was the one with you, 18 with Greeny, and now I'm on my third with Wingo and my son Mike. So, yeah, I've been getting up early for a long time. I loved our year together, though, man. Remember, we started out, we were only in Chicago. We had to make sure we had put Chicago banners up all over our studio because we only talked Chicago sports. We literally started with one affiliate. That was it.
No, don't forget Binghamton. We added Binghamton, New York, as our second affiliate.
Yes.
And then we had to go to Binghamton and do live shows there and talk about the broom dusters. No, we didn't. We did. We had fun with the people in Binghamton.
Oh, we had a ball. Isn't that the Rumble Ponies? Their minor league baseball team.
All these teams change their names, Mike, because you know that's the minor league baseball names of franchises are the greatest on the planet.
They are.
So absolutely. Are their promotions at the ballpark.
Oh yeah, they're
too.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's
a
shame there's no baseball of any kind right now. But Mike, let's get to some football now. Mike's still gone, so you can hear him every morning. Wingo and Golic.
Golic and Wingo.
It should be Golic and Wingo.
Yeah, it sounds better.
It is Golic and
Wingo. Yeah, it's Golic and Wingo.
And you tell Trey, I know he's a Cowboy fan, you tell him it should never be Wingo and Golic. Never,
well,
ever.
We're thinking of taking his name out of the title altogether, quite honestly, because he's a Cowboy fan.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think he's great. He's really, really solid. And he let his hair go gray, too, which is what I did. A lot of these guys are just never want to let it go. At least Trey let the hair go natural, man. Mine went, period. It didn't go naturally. It just died on its own.
Mine has gray in it, and I will always leave the gray in it. And now for the first time, because we're all quarantined, and I never gave a damn what I look like anyway, for the first time in my life, I'm growing a beard. And I'm finding out my beard has a lot of white in it. So I'm either going to look like the Dos Equis man or Moses. And I am psyched for either one of them.
See, I did it when I was doing TV with Keith Olbermann, and I was doing a lot of stuff. I was about, you know, because I had that mix thing. When you get a beard that's salt and pepper, but it doesn't look good, it looks like it's dirty. It starts looking dirty because you still have some black in it, and then you have to dye it, but you don't let it go super dark, because then you look, then people say, oh, look at that creep. Look how dark he let his beard get. Exactly. Everybody knows it's like wearing a bad rug.
That's why
a bad
rug.
Yeah, you got to cut it tight. Yeah. So I just let it go. It's gray now. Chicks dig the gray beard. Right, Robin?
Oh, God.
Yes,
I do. My wife always said, guys have it so easy because guys just let themselves go gray and they look distinguished. And my wife says, I'm not letting myself go gray. She said, I would look horribly old, but she's not doing it.
No, she still looks great, man. Every time I see her at the Super Bowl, we get together every year, you're looking good. You're keeping the weight off. It's the one thing that I've always been fascinated with. Watching football, offensive linemen have to be 300 plus when they're playing, so they have to eat like crazy. Then when they retire, they lose all that weight, and running backs who are small become monstrous after they retire. Not all of them, but
man,
a lot of them.
A lot of them.
You are so great. You see a running back, and they look like bloated ticks. It's unbelievable. But I'm one of the D linemen that was able to go down as well. But you're right. Offensive linemen really struggle to keep weight on, so when they retire, I mean, they drop like 40, 50 like nothing and then cut down even more, and they look really good. But you're right, man. Those running backs, they look like a football after a while.
Yeah, you look at Brian Baldinger, our good friend. He's always in great shape.
Oh, he's ripped.
He's climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. I mean, he does all kinds.
He's swimming with sharks.
He does everything great. And then you look at Stink. We just saw Mark Schlereth at the Super Bowl. He looks great. All these guys lose all that weight, and they look really good as they get older.
You know, the amazing thing is, though, every time I walk by and say hi and give these guys a hug or something, they still hold me. They still hold. It's ingrained for them to get a plaque for holding.
All right, Mike, I got to tell you about talk to you about the draft, because we know they're going to do it 2 weeks from the Thursday, so the 23rd, 24th, 25th, and they announced this morning, not that long ago before we came on, that they will conduct it and it will be done. Everybody will be home. So do guys have to still wear like crazy suits when they're sitting at home getting drafted? There won't be any more bro hugs.
No more bro hugs with the commissioner.
I think that may be the best thing about the draft not happening is Roger Goodell bro hugging, now completely gone, maybe forever. Will the bro hug officially be dead, Mike Golic, now that the coronavirus has stopped Goodell from doing it in Las Vegas on the Strip this year?
Oh, no. The next time we have where's the draft next year? I forgot. Is it out in California?
I think it's L.A.
Probably L.A.
I think it is L.A.
I think it's
year.
L.A. Oh, no. The hugs will be back. But here's what I would do if I was one of the draftees, you know, because they always get decked out in that incredible suit. Now get somebody to deck you out in a great, like, leisurely outfit, you know, a really cool, like, hanging out on the couch outfit. That's what they need to do now, because that's where they're going to be.
Or a hazmat suit.
Yeah, or a hazmat suit with a mask.
Oh, yeah, right. That too.
Exactly. So do you like, I mean, what are we going to do? At least they're not delayed, because everything's being canceled. Like, for example, we were talking about tonight would have been the NCAA College Basketball Championship. Yeah. So this is actually the first event that we knew was going to happen that is officially not going to be played at all. We're seeing a lot of golf tournaments, the Open, the British Open, or the Open, as they call it, has officially been canceled. They're not going to play until next year, and they're going to go to the 149th will be at Royal St. George's in 2021.
Which is where it was going to be this year.
Right.
And then they want to keep the 150th through St. Andrews.
Exactly, in 2022. Right. So there will be no champion of the British Open. The U.S. Open and the American golf things, they're still moving them later in the season, and they're hoping to get those in. But the interesting thing, Mike, is with the NFL, even though they've been affected, they're continuing their business. The free agent stuff went on, so they haven't really been shut down. They've been obviously inconvenienced where they can't do the big glitz and stuff of the draft on the Vegas Strip.
Right.
But business as usual is going on.
And I have no problem with it. You know, listen, you guys know, whenever the NFL does something, especially Roger Goodell, everybody throws darts right away. The NFL always gets ripped for what they do because, listen, quite honestly, they've made some mistakes in the past, so they rarely get the benefit of the doubt. And a lot of people, when they were going to actually start the new year on time in March and have free agency, there were some were going, uh-oh, should they be doing this? Man, I'm not – maybe you did, but in my circle of sports people and our audience, we didn't hear anybody complain. We thought, man, when somebody signs that $60 million deal, people are going to say, oh, they're signing these deals and the coronavirus is going on. I think people were so starved for something, and the only ones complaining about this draft are the GMs and the coaches who have to do it old school for once in their life now and actually study film and maybe not, obviously not be together, so they're inconvenienced a little bit. People are going to eat the draft up. I can't wait for it, and I'm happy they're doing it. They're being socially responsible. They're doing the social distancing. They have tape, which should be the number one evaluator anyway. All the tape you have, you certainly have your exceptions like Tua, you know, wanting to make sure he's healthy and not able to get your hands on him. But I have no problem with them doing the draft now.
Talking with the great Mike Golic from ESPN. And now the other thing that Woj revealed over the weekend, high-profile players playing horse in their own home gyms. One guy takes a shot. Another guy goes, they go live to his gym, and he takes a shot. You know what? I'd be interested in watching that. That because, remember, they did it in the NBA All-Star game for a bunch of years. And I think it's much more competitive than three-point shooting or dunking.
What aren't we watching at this point? I mean, you put that together. They're doing the NBA 2K things. We're watching the iRacing has been unbelievable. With the NASCAR guys has been popular. I mean, you do something, people are going to watch. I mean, they just had WrestleMania over the weekend. I freaking bought the pay-per-view both nights. I mean, I just wanted to watch something. So, yes, I think people are going to watch horse. I think it's a cool thing. Try stuff. I mean, this is the time to try something, get some content out there. I'll watch it. I have no problem.
Now, people don't remember this. 1978, the NBA All-Star Game incorporated horse.
Yep.
And Paul
yep.
Westfall won it. He beat Pistol Pete Maravich, Kevin Kreider, and Maurice Lucas
wow.
in horse
wow.
during the NBA All-Star Game.
I want to see, and I don't want to see dunks. I want to see some trick shots. I want to see some off-the-wall kind of shots.
Exactly.
I don't want to just see regular stuff. Take some chances. That's what I want to see out there.
I totally agree with you. You know, the other ones, they also did it. Kevin Durant won the ones in the 2009 and 2010 All-Star Games. So the 78
right.
one was the first time they tried it. They brought it back in 08 and 09, and Kevin Durant won it both times. So it's something that a lot of, you know, that's what we do in schoolyards now. We don't say, hey, let's shoot free throws. Let's try to dunk because most people can't dunk, especially the white dudes here. Plus, they took all the took all the nets off the rims in cities now because they don't want kids getting together and playing basketball, which is an outrage, Mike.
Yeah, and you know, so people will go, you know, find a hoop at the end of somebody's driveway, say, hey, just watch from your house. I'm going to play on your hoop, you know, in this horse game. But, yeah, we all did it because we could all shoot a basketball. I mean, that's something all of us could do so everybody can relate to it. So
I hope Ben Simmons Ben Simmons ends it in it, Mike, because nobody wants to see him taking three-point shots in this thing. I mean, nobody
well,
wants
and,
to see
him. He would only excel at the mid-range, and you know they're not going to do a lot of that.
Yeah, 5 foot and in. I don't think that's in this. I don't think that's in this competition.
No shots in the paint.
Exactly.
Oh, so that's cold, Mike. See, that's what I always. That's the one thing about Mike Olick. He always had to take that cheap shot, you know. And but normally he's a nice guy.
Dude, if you're going to tee it up for me, I'm going to swing at it. Okay?
Well, Mike, I mean, is it a foregone conclusion? Like, do you just think it's a matter of time before they announce that there aren't going to be any NBA playoffs and it's officially scrapped? Because as of now, they're not.
Here's what's going to be interesting to me. You know, the owner of the Hawks, and I wonder if it's going to pick up steam, he's wanted to change the year. He's wanted to start the NBA season on Christmas. Because right now, start the NBA season, what, end of October, early November, we're hyped up for the first game, and then nobody cares about it again until Christmas.
Yep.
So his thought was have it at Christmas and start the season then and go on later into the summer and never run into football. Where if you start late October and go and start then, you're running into football. So a thought was if they played the playoffs of the NBA season and went late and later into the year, they could actually incorporate the new league year and start in December. I don't think they're going to do it. I think at this point, I don't know if you guys agree or not, at some point the baseballs, the hockey, the basketball, they're going to have kind of a cutoff date that says if we can't do something by X date, we're really probably not going to be able to get anything in the rest of this year.
No, I agree with you, Mike, and I think that's – let's be honest. We all joke about this year after year, and the NBA pretty much acknowledges it, that the season doesn't start till Christmas Day because those are the games they hype
up. They got five games on
five
that day.
Five games,
right.
All great matchups. And I joke every single year, wake me up on Christmas Day when the NBA league starts. And I think that they should do that. I totally agree with the owner of the Hawks. But I don't know what they're going to do this summer, though, because it, now, you know, the argument will be now that the British Open is canceled in July, people are going to start saying, well, what are we going to do? We're going to play games in empty gyms to just to get the NBA season finished. Same thing with hockey. The ice is going to get bad when it gets hotter.
Yep.
Baseball, we don't know what's going to happen there, but they're talking about playing games in Florida and Arizona.
Right, at the spring training
in
locations.
In the spring training locations with no fans. But then they got to worry about the players, the managers, the trainers, you know, the staff, the TV, radio people who will be working these games. You got to make sure all those people are tested. Because if that happens and these players go down and play each other, what are you going to do? Have a you can't slide from within 6 feet of the bag or else you're going to be out automatically? Well, I mean, what the hell are they going to do?
Well, listen, we have to be at a point where groups at least of that size can get together we're not even starting the conversation, right? If we're getting to the point where we can have some people together but not crowds, I think, and I know I am, I would imagine you guys are, and I would imagine sports fans will be so thirsty for something that they'll watch it on TV, whether you can, if you probably won't be able to go to it in the beginning, but you're telling me that in another month at the NBA or 2 months the NBA starts to play, we're all not going to be glued to the TV watching it? I mean, we haven't had anything, nothing. So if they start televising something, even if fans can't go to it, you know people are going to watch it.
No, I agree with you, Mike. And people are worrying. Not worried. They want it. They want sports to come back. And we're all willing to sit here and do what we have to do, except the knuckleheads out there throwing gloves. Are there gloves all over the place up there in Connecticut, Mike, where people go to stores and stuff and they wear these rubber gloves, plastic gloves, and then they throw them all over?
They're everywhere.
It's an outrage, man.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Absolute outrage.
It's been pretty interesting, that's for sure.
Are all the bars and well, I know the bar. Are the liquor stores closed in Connecticut?
No. They don't close liquor stores in Connecticut. I mean, are you crazy? I mean, you want to talk about essential. I mean, so they feel that's essential enough to keep open. Liquor stores are open in Connecticut. Everything else pretty much is closed. Obviously, outside, you know, you can do the takeout and all that. But, yeah, liquor stores are open.
So you don't even have to go into the New York studios or the Connecticut studios, right? Who's working in those buildings right now?
It's like a ghost town. Only every now and then the NFL, like I think, so like SportsCenter anchors will go and they sit apart from one another. NFL Live, I think, goes in there. And I think that's it. We're doing the show in my basement. We got a big table, so me, Mike, and Trey are far enough away from one another, and that's where we've been doing it. All the basically the other shows, like debate shows and stuff, they all have TV setups at their house now, so they all do it from there. So everybody is basically remote. It's like a ghost town at ESPN. You actually have to have like a letter that allows you to get back on campus right now.
Wow, jeez. But, you know, I was way ahead of the curve.
People that work there.
I know. I was way ahead of the curve. I started doing stuff in my basement, which we converted to a wine cellar 2 years ago. And so I was ready for this, too. So don't be blaming me for the shortages of this. We don't have wine in the wine cellar. We don't have any masks. We don't have any safety gear. We've been safely down here. Now everybody's stealing our act. You got to come. When you come to Philly, you got to come to the wine cellar, Mike. It's really a nice spot here. It's well decorated. Robin and I built, as you know, I'm very handy. Robin and I built all the equipment down here, built all the, well, we didn't build the board, but all the furniture and all of that other stuff. You remember when I came to your house in Connecticut and I was putting up lighting for you when you first moved in?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. where's all your wine, though?
The wine's right here. It's in the racks. We got racks and racks of wine. Yes, we do. I mean, I'm doing keto, so I can't drink a lot of red wine. But Robin and I had a little Earthquake Zinfandel last night with the dinner.
Do you do the show like Hoda and Kathy Lee used to do, drinking wine during the show?
That's what I want to do.
Well, we'll start doing that. See, we don't have any rules here, Mike. We don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about somebody yelling at me in the background. You know what I mean?
Hey, listen, I know when you and I were together, you would have liked it if we had no rules.
Hey, Mike, before we let him go, I got to ask him, you know, you were the inventor of the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock.
Yes.
Is it a Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock that Joe Burrow goes number one in the draft to the Bengals?
Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock. Absolutely, positively happening.
You know, and people, when you and Golic and Greenberg used to do that, people thought I got mad that you were stealing my original Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, which I was doing back in the 80s. But I always thought of it as an homage. More than we're going to steal it, and nobody's going to know that Tony Bruno is the guy who originated that.
Oh, I know when we did it a couple of times, I said you used to do it. I mean, I had no problem with that. I mean, My God, listen, not many people can say they originated something. You originated that. I mean, but for the most part, as we know, you're in this business long enough, a lot of stuff gets researched.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe just named it differently.
No, you know what? People always say, why aren't you mad? This guy's saying that. I said, listen, I'm not going to go trademark stuff and then go after people because they're using shtick that I've done for 30, 40 years. Exactly, man. That's what makes this business great. The great
exactly
Mike Golden.
Right.
Let's put our hands together. Our first roaring round of applause on the new show on SiriusXM 211, the Dan Patrick Channel. Mike Golick, you will always know. I'm going to have a plaque made. The first guest on the new Tony Bruno show with Harry Mays on SiriusXM 211. That's an honor.
I am honored to be the first guest.
Thank you. Forget about ESPYs. Forget about Emmys. Forget about all the other awards.
Does this come with a cash award?
No cash. This will involve. We'll do. We'll get trade. Joe Krause will work on some trade deal for you.
Dunkin' Donuts.
We'll get you Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. We'll get you some maybe some new tires down here when you come back to the Philadelphia area, which you do every once in a while.
I like that. Okay.
Whatever you need, Mike, we'll hook you up here.
I appreciate that.
Mike Golick, man. Mike, always great to talk
to you,
brother.
Thanks, Mike.
You too, buddy. I'll see you.
There he is, the great Mike Golick.